Morning to the book of John again. John chapter number 1. This is not our Wednesday night topic. It's something else. But John chapter number 1, we're going to read three verses this morning. Verses 11 through 13 of John chapter number 1. So if you found your place and are able, please stand for the a reverence and the reading of the Word of God. And John chapter number 1, verses 11 through 13. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received them, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Lord, I thank You for the day. Lord, I thank You. Lord, for Your grace. Lord, when we can't thank You for the answer, we can thank You for the grace. Lord, You're so good to us. Lord, You're far better to us than we deserve. Lord, if we got what we deserve, we'd all be in hell. But Lord, You're good to us. Lord, You're forbearant. You're merciful. Lord, You're just so good. And I thank You for that this morning. I thank You for being able to be out again. I thank You for these here in attendance that made the effort this morning to come out. I pray, Lord, that You would bless them, that You would, Lord, give them something this morning. Lord, touch hearts, touch lives, Lord, and may they leave saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And so, Lord, I just pray for everybody. I pray that You would help me this morning as I preach. Lord, I need Your help this morning. I pray that You would just help me to proclaim what I believe You've given me. And Lord, no more, no less. Just will help me to rightly divide the Word. Help me, Lord, to hold anything back that I don't need to say. And Lord, help me to be sensitive this morning to anything that You would have me to say or add to the notes that I don't even have, Lord. So just help me this morning. Lord, help the people to hear. Lord, Lord, help them to hear with the heart. Lord, help them, give them understanding. Lord, give them what they need. I don't know what everybody needs, Lord, but You do. So, Lord, I pray that You would just help them this morning. Lord, may they, Lord, most of all, may You get, Lord, all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, Lord, out of everything that's said and done this morning. And we'll praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. As I said, this is not part of a Wednesday night messages. We've been going through the book of John with a subject of "That's Him," and how John, the reason for writing the book, and of course the Holy Spirit moved upon him to write it, but the reason that he wrote that is that you might believe. But as I prepared and as I was looking at the book of John for the Wednesday night, there's things that kindly jump out at me that kindly are more of a topical type message, and so. And today is one of those. As I looked and as I studied the book of John, it just seems like that all week I've kindly been drawn to this passage, and especially verse number 12 and number 13. Number 13, where it says, "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And so I'd like to preach this morning just a little bit on the doctrine of regeneration or regeneration, if you want to call it that. Now today we are in a famine. We are in a famine, and not necessarily of physical food, although if we don't get any rain, we may here in the next couple of months start to feel the effects of it. But so you pray for rain, but anyway, we are in a famine spiritually. And so Amos chapter number 8, verse number 11, Amos said this. He says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." He said that, a famine in the land. Paul, when he was writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 4, maybe some of the last things that Paul wrote while he was on this earth, that he wrote this in 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 4. He told Timothy, he said, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Because for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, if you look at it, you might think, well, those teachers are having itching ears. But that's not what it says. If you break it down, teachers, they're teaching people that are saying, tickle my ears. Tell me something that I want to hear. Don't tell me nothing hard. Tell me something that'll make me feel good. And that's what it is there. And Paul says that there's coming a day when people ain't going to want to hear the truth. They're going to want you to tickle their ears, tickle their fancy, and make them feel good when they leave. Paul said, Timothy, it's a coming. And we're in a famine today, a famine of the Word. Now, I'd talked to someone this week, and they posed the question to me. They said, what makes you think that your church is better than any of the rest of them? And why does New Hope take the stand that it takes? And that's, I guess, a more of a question for other churches, not necessarily for us, but I'd like to think that other churches don't stand where they need to, not necessarily on purpose. I hope they aren't deceiving people on purpose, but I think they're blinded. I don't really think they know what they're doing. And I don't say that to boast and to say, well, New Hope Baptist Church is something extra special. I mean, we've got something special here, but it's not because of any of us. It's because of Him. He sent truth our way, and He didn't have to do it. But instead of boasting us up, it should make us say, thank the Lord for what He's given us here at New Hope Baptist Church. He's been good to us all these years. Now, there are truths, as I said. We're in a famine. There's truths that are being watered down today. And I don't know about you, but there ain't nothing better than a good old Dr. Pepper. Oh, man, I think it's the best drink ever made. But now, Dr. Pepper, if you put it in a glass with ice in it, and after several hours, when it gets watered down, it just ain't no good. I don't like anything watered down. It just don't have the same effect when it's watered down.
Right.
Now, spiritually, the truth don't have the same effect if they're watered down.
That's right.
They ain't as good, they don't change anything. They're not life changing if they're watered down. And we're in a famine in the land. Things have been watered down over the years. And there, one of the truths that has been watered down over the years is that of regeneration.
Now, if
you were to read any old Puritan or anything like that, they preached on regeneration all the time. But today, in our modern churches, you don't hardly hear about regeneration. And I think it's because you can easy in and easy out, and you don't have to be changed. There's no change involved. You can come down smacking your bubble gum and say a couple of words and be saved, they say, and walk out and live the way you want to. And then whenever you die, the preacher will preach you right into heaven over your casket, and everything's okay. But it ain't okay.
No.
It ain't okay. The regeneration today has been watered down. The truth that they're preaching today is not what's reflected in the Bible. Now, I've seen the quote. It says, every generation needs regeneration. And that's true. Every generation has needed regeneration. Every generation will need generation. That's the only way. If you were to look up regeneration, and the reason I know is because I looked it up on Google, you're going to see all kinds of different definitions for regeneration. You're going to see the Pelagius view. I guess he was some man back, I don't know. There's a Pelagius view. There's a semi-Pelagius view. There's a medieval view. There's a papal view. There's a Lutheran view. There's a Reformed view. There's a Calvinist view. There's an Arminius view. There's things, regeneration. There's called baptismal regeneration. There's decisional regeneration. There's regeneration all over the place. You say, which one are you or which one are we? I don't know. I don't study all that. I don't know. I ain't on titles. I don't care about the plagiarist. I don't even know who he is, but I don't deal with none of that.
That's right.
When somebody comes up to you and says, are you this or are you that? I say, I don't know, but I'll explain to you what I believe about it. And if it fits any of them people that I don't even know who they are, then I guess I follow them. But I don't follow a man. I don't do none of that. I just think you just need to what the Bible say.
That's right.
You know, you've only got so many hours in a day, and if you spend time figuring out what Pelagius or whoever believes, you could have been spending that time in the Word of God, looking at the real. And so I don't know nothing about that. I don't know who. I guess just call me a biblicist or a Bible person. I don't know what you want to call it. But anyway, I don't know what they believe. But regeneration. I looked at Spurgeon, and there's some things where I ain't always Spurgeon man. Some of the times I think he preached one side of the coin. And then another side, he preached the other side of the coin. But he did say this, and I believe that. About regeneration, Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, regeneration is a change of heart wrought by the Holy Ghost, a mighty grace which the sinner does not wish to resist, enters into man, makes a new creature of him, and he's saved.
Yeah, that's good.
A work of the Holy Spirit, a mighty grace that you don't want to resist.
That's it.
Spurgeon said that. And I could say, on that quote right there from Spurgeon, I say that's true. Now, the term regeneration is spoke of here in verses 12 through 13. You say, well, I don't see the word regeneration. Well, Jesus said here in verse number 13, He said, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God. And Jesus said the same thing to Nicodemus in John 3:3. He said this to Nicodemus. He said, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Sometimes Jesus said the term begotten of God. Sometimes the term new birth is used. Born again. You have to have new genes. Regeneration.
That's right.
And that's where that term comes from. Now, in the New Testament, regeneration is used in Titus verse number 3, or chapter 3, verse 5, where he says this. He says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, people say, "Well, I don't believe that. It's not in the Old Testament." But I got news for you: it is. Ezekiel chapter number 36. This is a good old verse here, or good verses. They're all good, but Ezekiel 36, verse number 26 and 27. He says this, he says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them.
That's right.
Do them. Oh no, that's going to... That might cause problems here in a little bit. Do them. Regeneration. Regened. New genes. And so, as I look at this term, this doctrine of regeneration that's been watered down, I want to look at four simple things. And sometimes, I got to preface this because they're not all going to have the same letter. But sometimes, the best way to figure out something is to ask questions. If you want to figure out what's this, you need to say, well, why does it do that? Or how did it be? You ask questions. I'm an engineer. I ask a lot of questions. And so, regeneration, the best way to figure out what regeneration is to answer some questions. The first question about regeneration is, why is it necessary? The second question is, okay, if it's necessary, how does one get regenerated? The third question is, when does one get generated? And then the last question is, how do I know if someone's possibly been regenerated? How do I know if I'm regenerated? And those are four questions, simple questions that we want to ask. And hopefully at the end of it, we say, I can only understand a little bit more about the term regeneration and being born again, new birth, begotten of God. And so the first question we see there is, why is regeneration even necessary? Why is it necessary? Well, I've always heard this quote. It says, the heart of the problem is a problem of the heart. The heart of the problem is a problem of the heart. We have tainted blood running through our veins. Now, it says this in Romans 5:12. It says this, and it says Romans 5:12. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, Adam, you know the story. Adam, when he was in the Garden of Eden, he listened. His wife was beguiled by Satan, and she took of that fruit, and he took it willingly. He wasn't ignorant about it. It wasn't no trick on Adam. He knew exactly what he was doing when he was doing it. But he loved Eve, and he said, "If I want her to be saved, if I want her to ever have a chance, I'm going to have to do this." And he did it. He took it willingly. And so, when he did that, he was created in the image of God.
Right.
He was what they call theologically our federal head. Yes. When he took of that fruit and took it, sinned, it plunged all the human race into sin.
Yes.
From there on, it plunged them into sin. Now, we're sinners by nature, but we're also sinners by choice. We're depraved. That's who we are. We're no longer created in the image of God. We're created in the image of Adam.
Right.
And so, being in His image, we have a sinful nature just like He did. Or just like He had one. And so, we sin because we're a sinner, and we're a sinner because we sin. That's who we are. If you look at Ephesians 2, it paints a bad, bad picture of us. Ephesians 2 and verse number 2, it says, wherein in times past, he's talking to the saints at Ephesus here. He says, this is what you were in times past, before you were saved. He said, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He said, among whom all we all had our conversation. The way we lived our life, our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Colossians 1:13, another bad picture. It says this, he says, talking about Christ, it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness.
Right.
So if you haven't been delivered yet, you're still under that power of darkness.
Right.
Power of darkness. And so, Romans 5, it goes a little further. Romans 5, it says, but while we were yet sinners, while we were ungodly, we were strong for evil. We were weak for good. We were enemies. We had the wrong motives. We had the wrong desires because we're depraved, and that's who we are.
Right.
That's why you need to have new genes.
Right.
Your DNA has to be changed. You need to be regened. You need to be regenerated.
Right.
That's why it's necessary. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to flip a switch and I'm going to regenerate myself. You can't do that.
Do it.
It's just like when you were born the first time. You didn't just flip a switch and say, okay, I want to be born now. No. You didn't have anything to do with it.
Right.
And then that's why this decisional regeneration don't work.
Right.
You can't just flip a switch and say, okay, today I want to be born again. And that's the way a lot of people are practicing it today. But it's necessary because we need new genes. Our DNA is tainted. We're tainted. We're depraved.
That's right.
And so why is it necessary? And then the next thing is how does it come? How does one get regenerated? Now, it says there in John 1:13, it says, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
That's right. It's all of Him. That's right.
It's all of Him. In fact, it was this whole regeneration, salvation, just it was all of sovereign design.
That's right.
It was all His design. It was the sovereign's design, and it was the Son's dying.
Yep.
In the council halls of eternity past, in the council halls of God. God said, I'll make a way. And the Son said, I'll go and pay for it. I'll do it. Acts 2, 23 says this. It says, Him, talking about Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God. He knew from the very beginning of the beginning of the beginning, wherever you want to go, He knew it. The foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. It was a sovereign design. It was of the Son's dying. When He was on the cross, I was on His mind. When He was on the cross, you were on His mind. You say, well, how does that happen? He's God. Now, if I'm sitting here, I've got what they call the one-track mind. I can only think about one thing at a time. But He's deity. He could think about. He could see every face that He was dying for. Every one. That's why they say when He was on the cross, you were on His mind. And I believe that. I believe that you were on His cross. Jesus' death was capable of saving anyone and everyone who had ever been born that would come God's way. But in foreknowledge, He knew the end from the beginning. He knew exactly the ones that would come His way. Now, it wasn't causation.
Nope.
He didn't make them do it because He knew. He knew the end from the beginning.
Right.
Therefore, He knew the ones that the Bible says He died for many. He knew the ones that He would have died for. But that doesn't negate the fact that had everyone come His way, His blood would have been capable of saving every single one that had ever been born or ever will been born. They won't be able to say, well, I didn't have a chance and you didn't die for me. He did. That some people say, well, He just died for many. That's not fair. Well, we don't need what's fair. We got what's fair. We'd all be in hell.
Right.
We need mercy.
Yeah, thank God for mercy.
We need mercy is what we need. It's of the sovereign's design. It was of the Son's dying, but it's of the Spirit's drawing.
That's right.
That's how regeneration comes. John 6:44 says. It says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. There was an old clergyman back in the 1800s, and I don't know a lot about him, but his name was Talbot Chambers. And I come across this quote that he made about regeneration, and he made this quote. He said, regeneration is, as we know, instantaneous. But the steps that lead to it are often very gradual.
That's right.
And none of these steps can be spared.
That's right. That's good.
I believe that guy had some understanding.
He did.
I believe he did. I don't know nothing about him. But I come across that and I thought, well, boy, that dude there, he might have had some understanding.
He did.
Regeneration is, as we know, instantaneous. But the steps that lead to it, to what? To regeneration, are often very gradual, and none of the steps can be spared.
That's right.
Now, what steps is he talking about here? Well, I got to thinking about it. As I said, I'm a question asker, and I thought, well, the first step is that leads to regeneration. There has to be an awakening. There has to be an awakening. Now, this is totally different from conception. A lot of people think, oh, I see. They think, boom, that's conception. But no, I'm talking about an awakening.
Yeah.
I'm talking about an awakening when light comes. When you realize that something is not right. Maybe it's a question about my current situation. Maybe you see another somebody and say, hey, I wish I had what they had. Or I wish I could deal with trials like they deal with trials.
Yeah.
Something inside, there's an awakening. Now, even before then, the Spirit's at work.
That's it.
The Spirit's at work. In Genesis, it says that the Spirit of God moved in the darkness.
Yeah, darkness. Yeah. That's good.
Darkness means before light comes.
That's right.
Before all that.
Yeah.
Isn't it good to know that the Lord's still working, even though, you know, He called me long before I heard.
Yeah.
Before my sinful heart was stirred. He was moving.
Good.
He was moving before then. But then there comes an awakening where you say, something's not right. Something's not right. Light comes. Something's not right. And as I said, this isn't conception. This is not the new birth. But it's a step.
Yeah.
That leads to regeneration. Again, I'll say regeneration is instantaneous. But as this man said, there's steps that lead to regeneration.
Right.
And the steps can't be done away with.
Right.
And so there's an awakening. I say Hosea verse number 11. Hosea 11, verse number 4, says this. Hosea 11, 4, he says, I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke of their jaws, and I laid meat unto them.
Right. Yeah.
There's an awakening, and the Spirit's drawing. It was of the Savior's sovereign's design. It was of the Son's dying, but the Spirit's drawing. Not only do I see an awakening as one of those steps, but another step is there's some seeking involved.
Right.
And as we prayed this morning, it's not just saying that you're doing something; it's putting feet behind your actions.
Right.
It's being a true seeker. And now Romans 3 verse number 11: there's none that understandeth; there's none that seeketh after God. But if you read that in context, that's the natural man.
That's right.
That's the man that don't want anything to do with God. He's done, wrote him off, and he don't want anything to do with God. None of those will seek God.
Right.
But I'm talking about one that he's been awakened.
Right.
That knows that there's something fingering down inside, something's not right. At that point, there is one of the steps is there is some seeking. There is some seeking. Abraham, he had some seeking. When the Lord revealed Himself and spoke to him and said, Abram, get out of that country into a land that I'll show you of. He had to obey and he had to seek. Now Abraham didn't ever do. He didn't always do everything right. He made mistakes, as we all will. But he still had it at the forefront of his mind to seek after God.
Yeah.
He always had that. Basically, we could say he's on that road of light.
Yeah.
Seeking on that road of light. And now, on that road, Psalms 25:8, as good and upright is the Lord, therefore will He teach sinners in the way. In that way, there's a seeking. There's an awakening. There's a seeking. I see also that there's some way, somehow, got to be some understanding.
Right.
Now that understanding means knowledge. It means to to really, really understand, to really know, to have a reality of it, to understand of what? Well, John 16, 8 through 11 says, when He has come, He will reprove. Now that word reprove, it means to convince. It means to bring somebody to the settled fact, understanding and knowledge of what? That you're wrong. You're guilty. Reproved. Of what? Of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. All three of them. Now that sin there is unbelief. Of sin, because I'm not believing in Him. Of righteousness, because He's holy. I've offended a holy God. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. There's got to be some understanding of that. That's one of those steps that man was talking about. Regeneration is instantaneous. But there are some steps that lead to that. There's an awakening. There's a seeking. There's going to have to be some understanding. There's going to have to be some. John 6, 45, it says this. It says, as it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto Me. Now that word learned there is the same word as understanding. Those that do that cometh unto Me. Awakening, a seeking, an understanding. I think one of the steps that this man talked about on the road to regeneration, I think there also at some point has to be a sorrowing.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
A sorrowing.
Sure is.
Now, 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says this, it says, godly sorrow worketh repentance. Sorrow. I got to thinking about this whenever I was putting this together, and I Mom will probably remember it, but I don't even know why, but when I was in it was when I was still at Lakeland. I don't know what year that was, but anyway, I think we were having a meeting or something, but anyway, I remember my Aunt Wilma coming to school one afternoon, and if y'all know my Aunt Wilma, she was always happy, and you know, but she came that day, and there was just something about it. I mean, she was mad as a junkyard dog. And I don't really know, but it was just like you could see it on her face. She was just, She was upset. She was mad. But it wasn't a couple days later, she ended up getting saved. Now I don't, like I said, I don't remember why, but I believe during that time there was a struggle, and there was a sorrowing in there that she just kind of didn't want to be around anybody.
Yeah.
But it was one of the steps that was necessary.
Yeah.
To come to regeneration, which was instantaneous.
Yeah.
I remember going up to her car and talking to her, and it was just like, it wasn't the Aunt Wilma that I was used to, because she was struggling. She was sorrowing. She was that way. I believe there'll be awakening. There'll be a seeking. There'll be an understanding. There'll be a sorrowing. Also, there'll be a death.
Yep.
On the step to regeneration, there will be a death.
Yeah.
Not a physical death, but you have to die to self. You have to die to self. Now, self has to be defeated. Why? Because you got the wrong DNA. Your genes ain't the right kind of... I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about you ain't got the right kind of genes.
Right.
So you got to die to self. Now that's something that you can't do on your own. He has to enable you, and He has to help you with that. But He will. Dying to self basically means that you have to take sides with God against yourself. Basically, you have to wave the white flag and say, I ain't fighting no more. I give up. God, You're right. I'm giving up. There has to be a death.
If somebody ain't ever died to their self and they still want to be the king of their own life and they still want to reign and rule their own life, they ain't ever been regenerated. They ain't ever come to that point yet where they submitted to God or to Jesus and said, I want you to take the reins now. I'm through. Has to be a death. Has to be an awakening, a seeking, an understanding, a sorrowing, and a death. That's, and like I said, that's humanly impossible. But Psalms 110:3 says, "Thy people will be made willing in the day of thy power."
That's right.
You may say, I don't want to do it. I just right now I don't want a boss. You just stick with it. There'll be a day, in the day of His power, you'll wave that white flag and you'll say, I give it up. I'll take sides with you, God, against myself. I've been wrong all these years. And it may be that you just say right now, I can't do it, but all it takes is a touch. All it takes is just something to click, God to touch you, and all of a sudden, I'll wave that white flag. I'll let you rule my life now. Whatever you say, I'll be willing to do it. Why? Why is it necessary? How does it come? The third question I ask myself about regeneration is, when does regeneration come? When does it come? I've heard all kinds of people say. I've heard people say, well, you can be regenerated and in 20 years down the road, you take Him as Lord. And I've heard people say that you get regenerated and you get saved and the first works of your salvation or is to repent and believe. I want to know from the Bible, when does regeneration come? Now, have you ever heard of the term getting the cart before the horse? Now, I don't know about you, there's getting to be a lot of Amish there around Murray, and I've never seen one with a cart in front of the horse.
That's right.
They always have the cart in the back. Now, somehow, the effectual call comes. And that effectual call, it'll enable you to repent and it'll enable you to have saving faith and believe on Him. And at that moment, boom, you're regenerated.
Right.
Now, as I've said, I've heard people that put regeneration here and saving faith, and I've seen it all over the place. But like I said, I don't study none of that because I don't really care. I want to know what the Bible says.
Yes, the book.
I don't care how famous the person is. It ain't going to change my mind. If the Bible says it, it's true. Now, I'll ask you this. Would you pardon someone not knowing if they were truly sorry for what they had done? Would you go ahead and say, "All right, I'm going to pardon you, but as soon as I pardon you, I want you to tell me that you're sorry and that you're sorry for what you've done." They may just say, "Ha, I got what I want. I'm gone now." That ain't the way it works. He wants to see that sorrowing, that understanding that you fully understand what you had been and what you had done, and that you've got full, complete repentance and saving faith, then He'll regenerate. You don't regenerate and then you repent and believe later. I just don't understand that. But Romans 10:9 says this. Verse number 8, let's read that one first. It says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." Then he goes on in verse number 9, and Paul says this. He says, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Now, if you read that, the believing and all, and now when he says that you're going to confess with your mouth, that doesn't just mean "Hi, Jesus." That includes a repentance, a being crushed, that you're willing to take sides with God against yourself. You've already waved the white flag of surrender.
Yes.
It ain't just a confession. Paul said all of that comes, and then he says, then thou shalt be saved.
That's right.
I don't know what else to say. I mean, regeneration comes after repentance, after saving faith.
That's right.
Now it might be boom like that right there. But I just can't go that you're saved and then you got to repent and believe. I can't go that because I don't believe that's what the Bible teaches. But anyway, why you need it? You got bad genes. Your blood's tainted.
Yeah.
We need regened. We need to be regenerated. How? It's up to sovereign's design. The Son's dying. The Savior or the Spirit's drawing. That's how it comes. Regeneration comes. But then lastly, I want to look at How do you know? And I struggled with this because nobody should ever tell you that you're saved.
Right, right.
You should never want anybody to tell you and to prop you up and say you're okay.
That's right.
Because when you stand before God, that person ain't going to be there.
That's right.
Even if it's your mama or your daddy, they ain't going to be there. It's going to be you and God standing there. And so you're going to have to stand on your own merit. So don't let anybody say, but you did this. You're okay. I've seen your life. You're different than everybody between you and God. 1 John 5:6 says this. It says, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness. Now a lot of people will say, well, my spirit bears witness with your spirit. So I know you're saved because I can feel it. That ain't what that says. Says your spirit bear witness with that spirit.
That's it.
Between you and God. So don't let anybody say that, well, you're okay. I believe you're saved. You just don't know it yet. No, don't let anybody do that. But the point is that I wanted to how do you know? How do you know? There are certain things where you can tell if somebody needs prayer or not. Now, I'm not going to just say they're lost, but they need prayer.
Yeah.
They need prayer. Now, I heard a quote or a statement that said this, and it was a Southern Baptist preacher, so it was geared toward them. But it said that this Sunday morning, and he said it a year ago, so it's probably worse than this. But it said this Sunday morning, there will only be 30% of Southern Baptists that'll go to church today. 30%.
Yeah.
Now, as I said, that was a year ago, so it may be like 20% now. But my problem is that 1 John 3:9 says, whosoever is born of God, that phrase, born of God, been regened, be regenerated. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. That means that it's not a lifestyle no more.
That's it.
You may mess up one time, but buddy, you're just gonna be sorrowful for it. You ain't gonna stay there. It says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. He cannot stay in that lifestyle because why? He's born of God. He's been regenerated. He's got new genes. He ain't going to stay that way. So what I'm getting at is when you hear a stat about only 30% of people going to church on a Sunday, they need prayer.
Guaranteed.
Because something's not right. Something is not right. And I can follow that up because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now that word creature there means he's a whole new creation. It's a whole new ball game.
That's right.
He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Because he's got new genes. He's been regened. He's been regenerated.
Right.
Old things are passed away. All things are become new. They're not going to do that stuff anymore. There's going to be a difference. There's going to be a difference because they've been regened. So in closing, I ask you this morning, have you been regenerated? Have you been regened? If not, I pray that you long and desire to be regened. For the Lord to give you those new desires and those new motives. But how does it come? It comes by the Spirit's drawing. And there will be an awakening. There will be a seeking. There will be an understanding. There will be a sorrowing. And there will be a death. Death to self. If not, I pray that there will be a longing and desire that will continue and that you won't give up. 1 John 1:12 again says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The doctrine of regeneration. Lord, I thank you for the day. Lord, I didn't scratch the surface on it, Lord, but I've had it kindly on me the last couple of days about being born of God. And what does that mean? And this whole regeneration thing. Because, Lord, I fear that there's a lot of people that think they've been regenerated, but there hasn't been a regening. There hadn't been any change. They were the same before they went to the altar as they were when they went back. And so, Lord, that ought to tell them that there's something wrong. And Lord, they need prayer. And then Lord, they may not even know that they need prayer. But Lord, there are ways. We can be a fruit inspector. We can tell by fruit if someone's really being regened or not, regenerated. And Lord, this was a theological truth that Lord was preached often during the 1800s. But Lord, today they don't preach it anymore because. To be honest, they don't preach that you have to be changed. They just preach that all you got to do is say a couple of words in the presence of somebody that can hear them and that they're okay. But Lord, that's not the way it works. Lord, there's got to be a work of the Spirit. And Lord, we understand that. And so Lord, help us to keep it not being watered down. Lord, help us to stand strong where we need to stand and not worry about what anybody else says and how famous they are. And we don't care nothing about that, Lord. I just want truth. I want to know what saith the Lord. And Lord, help us to stand in it by the grace of God. Help us not to waver to the right hand nor to the left. So Lord, just help us now. Help us to, Lord, even learn more about this doctrine of regeneration. Lord, I endeavor to know more about it. And so, Lord, just help us now as we go through the rest of the day. Lord, be with us this afternoon as we study and help us tonight. And, Lord, may you just do a work, Lord. I'm expecting it. Lord, I know you can do it. Lord, there's nothing too hard for God. So, Lord, just help us now as we go through the rest of the day. Lead, guide, and direct us in Jesus' name. As she plays.